I am speaking to Mrs. Frances May Bear Santucci, widow of Louis Santucci. She resides at 873 South G Street, Livermore. Frances is the mother of three children, Louis Santucci, married to Dorothy Ralph, and twin girls, Dorothy and Dora. Dorothy is married to Robert Tart, and Dora is married to Harold Brown. Frances has 11 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren, and 1 grandchild due to be born any minute. Frances, were you ever told how your father...
The Swiss and Company, my father worked for Swiss and Company, a meat packing company in Denver, Colorado. And they sent him to Nebraska to they have a plant there at that time. And my mother was working, she was the head of, the people that go there and eat. My mother was the overseer, a cook there that she's seen. And that's how he met my mother. And that was, I couldn't tell you the year that was, but I know that's how my mother and dad met for the first time. They fell in love.
And then they stayed in Colorado?
And then he married my mother in Omaha, and she went to live in Denver, Colorado.
What, did he travel?
But no, she didn't go right at that time. They married, and they lived in Omaha, and I was born in Omaha, Nebraska. That, in fact, I was born, and Max and I were born, my brother Max and I were born in Omaha. I'm the oldest, and then Max. And then my folks moved to Denver then, and then my other sister and my other brother, Buddy, were born in Denver, Colorado. There were 2 of us in Omaha and 2 in Denver, Colorado.
What were you doing in Colorado?
He was in the meat packing business. They were a butcher for a Swiss and Company.
Uh-huh.
You know, head man. He was a head man.
Uh-huh. Did your mother continue working?
No. Uh-huh. After she was married, he said, no more work. And she was a homebody.
And then the whole family moved, they were all born, the children were born in the Midwest, and then you all moved to California. Was there a particular reason for moving?
Yes, I developed rheumatic fever, and the high altitude in Durango, well, see, we did move from Denver to Durango, Colorado for a while. He went to Durango. And there's such a high altitude there, and we were living there, and I developed rheumatic fever there, and my dad, the high altitude, the doctor said if we didn't get down to sea level, he didn't know what would happen to both of us. So that's why my dad gave up working for Swiss and the packing company. We moved here to California when I was 16. I don't know what year that would be, but I was 16 at that time. And we moved here because my mother's folks lived here.
Oh, we were talking about when you were 16.
Yeah,
so you must have gone to grade school in Colorado. Do you remember anything about your schooling?
Well, and I come out here, I went come out here, and when I started to school in Elmhurst, California, that's between, you know, where uh-huh. Elmhurst was. There was in high school there. I went to high school there. And then from there, we moved to Haywood. My dad was in, he went to work for Batty Addy slaughterhouse there. He did all the killing of cattle and sheep and hogs for the meat markets. He was overseer too for it, and we lived on they call it the old state game farm in it was on the highway going from San Lorenzo to San Jose, and it was right on the highway there, and It was at that one time, it was they called it the old state game farm, and my dad went into business and he for himself, and at that time how I met my husband. That was a time when they had that hoof and mouth disease, when they had to kill all the hogs and stuff off, it happened that at that time, they had to kill all of their hogs because they found that they had the hoof and mouth disease. And he came over to see my dad at the state game where we live, because they had a lot of places where they could start another place for, and there was a slaughterhouse on that, and my dad told him, rented it to him, and that's how I met my husband. And I was working for the telephone company when I moved. We was living in Hayward. I worked for and that's how I met Louis. And when I got married, then my husband and my dad was in the business together. They went into business together for themselves, and then we moved to Livermore.
When you first met your husband, did you meet him there at the slaughterhouse, or did your father bring him home?
No, he came to see my dad, and I happened to be working for the telephone company, and I had come home, and he was there with his uncle, talking about seeing if they could start a hog ranch out there. They rent out a piece of the land that had a lot of buildings on and places that they could keep a hog ranch. At that time, they could. They lived. And that's how I met him. And then we went together for a year before we got married.
Did he start his hog ranch there?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he went from there. My dad and him was in business together then at that time when the lease was up, we didn't own that ranch, but the state game farm, but we had leased it for 5 years, and when that lease, husband and my dad wanted to, found this place at the Twin Oaks Ranch out here. That's wherever they moved.
Oh, in Livermore.
Uh-huh.
Out on, is it on?
On that other road to go into, you gotta go, oh gosh, you got me.
I'm trying to think of, it's out there close to Alden Lane, in that area.
You know, go out Olivina. You go down Olivina,
right.
Down, you can go that way. One road goes that way, and then there's the road from where we turn off to go down Olivina. That goes out towards the Veterans Hospital. But the other road, you can go in from the other way, too, and come in. And they used to call it C Street, but I don't remember what it is now. At that time, they used to call it C Street. And now St. Charles is church is on that, and that's that
right.
Same that road.
Okay,
that's where
I'm
it is.
I'm not sure if that's Concannon or Concannon Boulevard's in there,
mm-hmm.
in that area.
Well, Concannon's over across, isn't it by the
might be up a little bit
by Lucky's,
right?
Where the
a
new
uh-huh.
Lucky's.
So it's about a block or two past that.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought a ranch there.
No, we leased it for 5 years at Twin Oaks Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And in the meantime, Max started his fight career. My brother Max started his fight career. There used to be a big house there, 12 rooms. There was six rooms upstairs and six down. There was a great big house at that time. And we lived upstairs, my husband and I, and I'd had my first child and little. And Louis was born in Hayward, and he was a month old before we moved here to Livermore. And that was in 1928 when he was born, and we moved here to Livermore. That's in the year we moved to Livermore, 1928. And
So both families lived together then for 5 years?
Yes, not 5 years, just for about 2.5 years, because when Max started his fighting, he started going places in the fight world, prize fighting. And he brought his mother and father home in Piedmont. And they, and my dad and mother moved to Piedmont, and my sister, she wasn't married at that time. And Louis and I still stayed at the ranch out there until the lease was up. Then my husband bought a piece of land out there where St. Charles is now, and that's where we...
Well, that was close to the ranch you leased?
We built a house, and my son helped my dad at that time. Not my dad, but my husband.
Oh, how old was he then, your son?
He was 21 that time. He'd grown up I'm getting ahead of myself. And then, as I say, we moved up there. Well, my husband run the ranch, and Louis, he's named after his dad. He went to San Jose State for 1 year, and then he quit. He didn't go only 1 year to San Jose State. And him and Dottie got married, and they moved on the ranch. My husband built a house for them, and they moved on the ranch there, and he ran the ranch from there, and my husband would go out every day from here. We were living in this house, and we moved. So that's where he did, and he worked for that until my son went into the police in Alameda County, becoming a deputy in Alameda County, and he worked out of Santa Rita. Mm-hmm. Santa Rita.
Now, what type of work did you do on the ranch?
The same kind of ranch. He helped we had over two or three thousand head of hogs. Oh. And he fed pigs, and they had to take and they gathered the garbage from they had two trucks going to Berkeley and Oakland to these restaurants, and they gathered the garbage. That was the feed they fed and mixed it with other food, you know, for the pigs, and my son didn't drive the truck all the time, only when someone got sick or something. Uh-huh. He'd go on the truck. But there was two men working all the time, and they was feeding pigs. And then, my husband would buy the pigs small, and then raise them, fatten them up, and then sell them to different meat packing companies. They kill them for all the shops and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I remember something about at one time you had to cook all the food before you cooked?
Well, that came later. Then they passed a law that they had to cook all the food. Then my husband installed a cooker that they had to, every time they brought the food, they had to cook all that food before they could feed it to the pigs. And that was a the law at that time.
What was the reason for that law? Do you know?
Well, they were afraid that they contact something that, like they had that breakout of the
The hoof and mouth.
Yeah, uh-huh. They something that's in the food. They were afraid that it wasn't healthy for the pigs and for people to eat the meat, and that's why they cooked all the food that the pigs eat.
Oh. And so you moved into this house in
1934.
That must have been right after it was built.
No, this house is older than that. Mm-hmm. Ida Murray and her sister Clara and Mr. She married. They had a double wedding too, and their husbands built the houses alike. This house and the house next to me is the same. Built the same. They're built exactly alike. And so they both lived next door to one another till Clara wanted to move back to Ferndale. That's where she was from, Ida's parents lived in Ferndale, California. So her and her husband, Seward Berry was his name, and they moved back up to Ferndale, and they rented this house out for a long time, but we didn't, I was living up, you know, where the Dania Hall was.
Mm-hmm.
We moved in from the ranch, and this was for sale. So my husband came over and talked to Ida, because she was in charge of, because Clara wasn't here, but she left her sister in charge, taking care of everything, and we decided to buy this place. So we moved up here just 1 month before Max won the championship of the world, and I'm telling you, it was something that you've never seen in your life. The night he won that championship, you couldn't get for a mile around this place here. The cars, the people, they come. The Livermore band, and Frank Hark, it was a high gear. He led them, and they came up, and the Eagles. I think the Eagles had at that time. They marched up, and they had a parade up here, and I never seen so many. I didn't know. If you asked me today who was all here, I couldn't have told you.
The town turned out.
They turned out. I'm telling you, never seen anything like it. They just went wild. And Lachlan, he owned a place downtown. He sent up kegs of beer, and they sent pretzels. They put a table out here in my driveway, and they sent everything up out there. I didn't have anything to do with it. And the people I never seen, and they were celebrating. This went crazy. I never seen some. It was wonderful, everything. But I put my little ones to sleep in the other bedroom, and I came out, and here they, at that time I had carpets, separate carpets, and they rolled up my carpet, and I here was a man performing in the middle of the floor, and I said, where did he come? He says, I've come from the big theater in San Francisco, and he was putting on the program that he had danced on the stage. He was out here doing it. Look, and there was the people from the paper from the San Francisco. I tell you, I never seen anything like it. And I enjoyed having them, but you know, we had put in a new lawn in the front there. They trampled it, and it came in on my hardwood floors. I just could cry, but I was happy that my brother won the title. But and they celebrated, and there, and my neighbor says, "Oh, Francis, I pity you. I'll come over tomorrow and try to help you clean up that floor." And we did have it. Yeah. Then we heard they were coming back the next night to celebrate again. Well, I had to just lock the doors and get away. I couldn't take it. And with two little twins at that time, they were little, you know, they're just a little over a year and a half old.
They didn't know what was happening.
And their uncle was the time. So we had a wonderful
part of the family.
Yeah, and then Max was, you know, he won the title in New York City, and my mother and dad were back there at that time. And in the meantime, back there, my dad, he had a bad heart, my dad. That's why, one reason why, from the Colorado, the high altitude, the doctor was afraid that he'd have a heart attack. That was true, I guess. And He was a man that he lift heavy things in his life, and he'd go in and out these. You know, if you ever see it, you go from a like a butcher shop, you go in those ice and those ice things, and have to put meat in and freeze it, and that wasn't good for him either. And then as in late life, he contacted this around the heart, muscles around the heart, they contact, and he'd had quite a few spells. And not bad ones, but then when he got, when Max won the title and all that excitement, Max had a doctor sitting right at the, his side, ringside when he won, fought, because he was scared. And, but it happened that he didn't at the ringside, and the fellow from the newspaper from San Francisco, he did. He had a heart. And Max was fighting, and he seen a commotion, and he looked, glanced down, and he seen it wasn't his dad, but the doctor took care of this other. I think it wasn't the Inquirer. It was there was two papers.
Chronicle.
Chronicle, I think. Smith. His name was Smith. Anyway, he was back there at the ringside. He was sent from here back there for the fight, and he's the one that had a heart attack. And Max. It was a good thing he had the doctor there. He wouldn't have lived. The doctor, they took him to the hospital, Smith to the hospital, and my dad got attacked about 3 or 4 days later. They had to bring him home in they can't fly him. They wouldn't fly him. They came in a train, and it's a compartment where it was air conditioned and kept it there. And they brought him home in a
Pullman.
I guess that he had a place all to themselves, and my dad and mother, and that they had a doctor came all the way from New York with him.
Oh my!
So.
When I was walking down the street, I noticed most of these sidewalks around here say WPA on them.
No, not in the front. No, down there. They're just out from here to the other part where you walk along. That was the WPA.
Uh-huh.
Put the sidewalks in at that time. I think that's what they used to call them, the WPA.
Yeah, the Work Projects Administration.
They put them in. We paid so much to have them put in, everyone in front of their property.
Uh-huh. Yes. Did they do a lot of WPA projects? Was Livermore hurt a lot by the Depression?
It was, in a way, as far as I can remember now. And then they put them all in. The people, they give a lot of people work.
Uh-huh.
Putting them in. They putting all the sidewalks. There wasn't no sidewalks at all on either side of the street.
I don't know why. One day I just happened to catch sight of that.
And then they put them all, I think they were all, the whole thing is in there. I think WPA put the all around here. And then we paid to have the streets, the streets weren't paved either. They were dirt streets.
They were?
Yeah. I don't know who it was from out of town. They came in here and put in, and we had to pay for to have our streets paved in front of where our property was.
Uh-huh.
We paid so much, and then I think the state paid so much, and we paid so much.
Uh-huh. You had a car when you moved into this house.
Oh, yes, we had an automobile. Uh-huh. We had an
automobile. So then all of your children must have went to St. Michael's.
No. To school? No, they couldn't get in at St. Michael's. Well, see, my girls were I'm a convert.
Oh, okay.
I'm a convert. My dad and my husband was Catholic, and I joined in. I didn't join the St. Michael's till 1972, myself. And I was married again in St. Michael's, and I received communion there, and not communion. You know what I mean? And then I was married the same night.
Oh, is that back? You were baptized?
Father Adams married me.
Oh, he did in 1972.
And Louis. Yeah, Louis and I, and all my children and some of my grandchildren were there too.
Oh, that was happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I was baptized.
So they
baptized me. That was it.
Right.
I joined. And then I went there. And my girls, though, were Catholic before I was, the twins. They joined, they were in high school when they joined, through Ida. My mother never had us kids baptized. She left it up to us when we grew up, that whatever church we wanted to go and join, we could. That's how I could join. I was never baptized before. And so that way, I joined and was married in the Catholic. My mother seen that we were in church and went to Sunday school my mother was a Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to play in church and sing. She had a beautiful voice. We went to the different churches, and most of the time when we were here before the girls became Catholics, they went to the Presbyterian church. But they started to go over to the church with Iris, that's Ida's daughter, and they loved it. And they says, "Mama, we would love to become a Catholic." And I said, "Well, honey, that's up to you. If you want to, that's okay with me." And her dad, their dad, was so happy that they were. And they joined the Catholic. And I became
for him
in 1972. And I, St. Mike, that's why they never went to St.
Uh-huh.
Michael's school. But,
which school did they go to?
They went to Fifth Street School.
Oh, they did.
Uh-huh. They went to Fifth Street School. They were there Sunday. They were there, and my brother Buddy went there, too. He went for a while. He didn't go very long before he moved away from Livermore, but he went to... And Mrs. Dutcher was as one of his teachers, and she taught my brother Buddy, and her son was in the same class, the Norris Dutcher.
In with Buddy.
Yeah, and they were going to school together, and she taught both of them. And she taught the twins, too.
And Fifth Street School went from first grade to
the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
First grade to eighth.
Huh. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that reunion Sunday.
It was really nice. They had quite a few there. The difference, some of them I hadn't seen for a long time. They come up and I look at them and they say, "Remember me?" And I said, "Oh," I says, "You look for me." Because and then they said, "Tell me who they were." And they put the stickers with their names or the name tags on. And then they say, "Oh, Mrs. Santucci, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in years." And then some of them came just special for it, you know, from out of this time.
I'd like to back up on a couple of things. Maybe if you can remember your work at the telephone company, you did.
I worked on the switchboard, and I was working at the time I was working to become not the chief operator, but over, so I could go in and what do they call those?
Supervisor.
Like a supervisor, and go in and help the girls out. And I was working, a couple of years at that time, they didn't have like they have today. They were all girls, and they used to even take telegrams from people who phone in and want telegrams. And it was a little tougher for us girls at that time. We had to take
then a lot of times I've got knocked out of off of my chair. If you had, I couldn't wear rings or anything that, say, if I wore my ring, but I wouldn't wear a bracelet or anything that if you touch one of those things, that you could get knock you out.
Oh, electrical shock.
Yeah, knock me right off of my, out of my chair. So, and we work different shifts, you know. We work so many days during the day, and sometimes I work night shift all night long. And there'd only be two of us on the switchboard at one at night time, one at, up at taking long distance calls, and one down at below. The girls nowadays, they don't have to do that. From according to, I understand my granddaughter's working there. Well, I showed up there, Nina. And she says it's nerve wracking, but you only go in what city, please. You calling, you know, that's only time if she goes in or something like that, or operator just calling.
And what did you have to do? Get a name and a number for long
distance?
Yeah,
and that's one thing why to this day I can remember phone numbers so well, is because we worked with numbers all the time, mm-hmm. not names so much. And go in on these calls and say, and they get disconnected and or something, and there we'd have light flashes, and we had to go in there. We worked on like a switchboard, and they plug in different things.
Uh-huh.
You seen like in the olden days, how
in the movies.
Yeah, that's how the telephone girls in 1924 and 25, I worked in the telephone company.
Do you remember what you were paid for a week's work?
No, not anymore.
Can't remember what your pay scale was.
And then we'd take out stock in the telephone, and then they'd take it out of our wages
At this point in our conversation, we decided that we would like to continue our discussion in a couple of days.
We didn't know the name of the street the ranch was on. It's over there where St. Charles was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Lomitas Avenue.
And at that time, we had the ranch, they called it C Street.
Oh, okay.
And it's changed, you know, since my husband sold, and after he sold the ranch, and it had a different name there.
But that was in the county at the time? Or was that in the city?
That's in the county. Yeah. That's in the county.
And it was C Street.
Now it's in the city, isn't it, out there now?
I believe so.
Yeah, I won't know for sure, but
yeah.
That's where it was.
Yeah. And the name of the ranch, what did you call the ranch?
You mean the ranch where we were, my husband and father had the, well, that was Twin Oaks.
Twin Oaks Ranch.
Twin Oaks Ranch. But where he has the ranch, he bought that land where he had the hog ranch was up on C Street after the lease was up on the other. And then people that owned it, they wanted to move out there on themselves from Fruitvale or Elmhurst. And they used to have a laundry or curtain where they could laundry, and they did up did all kinds of curtain and drapery work, you know, for people. So that's the only thing I know, and I can't even remember the name of the people that really owned it.
Yeah,
you know, the Twin Oaks Ranch. But it was a nice place there on that. I don't know if you ever been around there. They tore down the big house. There was a big house there. It was 12 rooms, 6 down and 6 up. And that's where we lived upstairs, and my husband and I and my son. And we I moved out here on the ranch. My folks moved about a month before I did, because I had my oldest child boy. He was born and just about the time they was going to move out here, and the doctor, in fact, the little fella caught a cold and it turned into like pneumonia, and he said, "No moving, taking that boy away from here to move him out to Livermore. until he's over this there. So I stayed on for a whole month there in Hayward's, you know. After he was born, then we moved back. I moved out here on the ranch with my folks, and they lived downstairs, and I lived upstairs. It was a nice big house, but we lived there the 5 years that we had the lease on the ranch. Then after that, Louis and my dad, in the fact, moved before the 5 years. He moved to Piedmont. That was when Max won the championship, and he bought his mother and father a home up on St. James Drive in Piedmont. So we stayed on there till the lease was completely up, and then my husband, this piece of land was for sale, and it had a tank house on it. And someone there, so he bought the place, and then Charlie Bouvard built the house out there on that street. The house is still there. It was a stucco house.
He built most of the houses in this area, or put the roofs on.
And he even built that house for us. Around the corner in the middle, not this first duplex here, but the big house in the middle there. Charlie Bouvard built that house for my husband and I. It used to be, and we thought, well, now when we sell the ranch, when he retires and he sells, then we want to have that as income property, and that's why we built these on there. And then my husband bought the house on the corner down on the other corner, and there's a pretty good sized piece of land. So he built another duplex on there. He had a fight with the city for a long time before he got that one. But there was nothing there. But they thought it should have been deeper. But they finally gave him permission, and it wasn't. Charlie Bouvard didn't build these duplexes. No, he was Glossop, a man by the name of Glossop. I don't know. He was a contractor. But then he moved away from here about a year or two after he built that second duplex for us. And the city, they finally gave him okay. But we had attached them to the other house to make them duplexes all the way down. That from the big house, we had attached... The duplex on the other side to that big house, and these houses were separated. They were all right. That was okay, but the other had to get that.
That's on the corner of must be H
and
Palm.
They're
good looking houses.
So then I got those.
Yeah. Oh, for him. Was Charlie Bouvard still working with his father? When he built those houses, at one time he worked with his father.
Yes, and then his father passed away, and then poor Charlie, he's living with one of his children.
I think so, out on Mines Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put the last roof on our house, too.
Yeah. He put these on for us, another one. You know, we had to have new ones on this house. This house, let's see, I was trying to figure. See, it's been Louis is 54, and Ida's daughter was born on January the 1st, and she's the same age as my son, and she's 54. I know it was about 56 years. This is 56 or 57 years old, this house.
Must have been one of the first ones.
Yeah, and what's the name? Was it Fletcher or who's the guy that built all these houses around here? His father.
Oh, who built them?
Huh?
The one who built them?
These houses, huh? His son was a contractor, but his father was a contractor. He was the one that built these houses at that time. And they're built. They said these houses are built.
They weren't tubs. It wasn't
Oh,
tubs,
no. Uh-uh. I wouldn't say Fletcher or... did Fletcher have a father that was a contractor?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll have to ask.
Who built those houses over on over there by on East Avenue? Those homes.
Oh, Jensen. Yes, is it Jensen?
Maybe
it
could be.
There's some Jensen houses.
But
there.
Anyway, these are old. He's an old time. When his father died, well, he went on and built homes himself as the son. So that's why I just wondered. I can't remember the name. It's just left me just like that.
Yeah, and I was told that the wood in these houses came from Port Chicago. Or is that the houses up on the other side of the street?
It must be, because these were built from, well, these
from
houses
here?
A long time. My husband and them went over that morning. You know, they had that explosion. And they were getting the garbage from Port Chicago. And my son and my husband... Each one drove a truck, and as they got over there, and they could see all this along the side, the roads and everything, and big pieces of the ship. We got a piece out there. I've got a piece. They brought it back with them. It's a piece from the ship. One of the ships that flew up.
Oh, no. Mr. Santucci is going out in the backyard to get me a piece of this ship so I can see it.
They said there was some bodies and everything. They're picking up people, you know, when they got there, because they had to go in. They won't allow only those that had to go on the grounds. They wouldn't allow them in there. But they could go in, Louis and... Little Louis, the two Louis, and to gather the garbage and stuff. And he says it was a terrible mess. Well, it was like a combustion, you know, the house.
Uh-huh.
Then, and I don't know, were you here at that time?
No, I wasn't.
And then over, you could see a light up the whole sky. It was like a light. And we said, well, there was an explosion someplace, but we didn't know where at that time. Here it was at Port Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. What year was that? Must have been.
1944.
Was that?
It was in the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Because my son was 20-some years old, and he was born 1928.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that must have been a terrible thing. Was it just one ship, was it?
I can't remember just how many ships was involved, but there was a mess.
And you think you felt it in Livermore?
Yeah, it felt like a combustion, you know, like that.
Uh-huh.
And we says, "Oh my God!" We couldn't figure out what it was. Then we went out and looked up the sky all around, and we could see this is all lit up like a, you know, over that way, and from the where the explosion was. Or Chicago.
Oh my. Well, I think they had an explosion once earlier too, in the early 30s.
It's dangerous. It was a dangerous situation, you know, over there. They said they had the explosions, explosive stuff, you know, and it went up in the ship.
Oh dear. Oof. What an experience.
Wow.
Then when did you name your did you give your ranch that you bought a name?
Not any name. But it's the Livermore Hog Ranch. It was time. Then another hog ranch started up here on out there years after Louis had it. They had them called the Livermore Hog Ranch too, but we just called the Livermore Hog Ranch.
Oh, huh?
Santucci's Hog Ranch.
Okay. Then your husband retired, and you moved into town, and you.
We moved into town before we retired. We were he was living in this house when he even retired.
Oh. Huh.
And he retired in 1958. He sold the ranch in 1958 to a fellow by the name of Livermore. And he was no relation to anybody here at the town of Livermore, and that's a coincidence. I'm telling you. And even Robert Livermore lives just a block over from us, you know. He's from San Ramon, and he worked for the Bishop Ranch. And he has a, it's in the Senate, you know, there's a fellow by the name of Livermore in his brother. He's in something to do with the government, not here, but in Washington, D.C. His name is Livermore. Oh, what a coincidence. Town of Livermore.
Right.
And sold the ranch to a man by the name of Livermore. His name was Robert. By the way, it was, they called him Bob, still Robert. Bob Livermore. And he was from San Ramon. And he was a head of the Bishop Ranch over there. He ran the Bishop Ranch for Mr. Bishop.
Oh,
and he bought our ranch and the livestock and the ranch and took over. And he didn't stay. He hired somebody to run the ranch here because he had other things to do.
Uh-huh.
But he invested his money in that, and that's what he wanted to do. And
he wanted to invest the money in the town with his name.
It was funny. And everybody looked at it, and I said, well, it's the truth. His name's Livermore. Then we went, took a trip back to see my daughter. She was living in Pennsylvania. There was another town. This fella, he started him. And they lived there. And Harry would... Levittown, Pennsylvania. Mm. That's I thought that was. Mr. Levitt built a place, and there's a Levitt town in New York, and there's a Levitt town in Pennsylvania. There's two. He built these, started these places up, and built like a village there. And my daughter and son-in-law bought the house there where they lived, and so. We went back, and we flew back, and we drove a car back. We bought a car, and we drove back so we could see the country.
Oh.
Well, up there, you could only see sky.
Right.
And we went back to be and see my first little great-grand... Well, it would be my first little great-granddaughter. No, granddaughter. It wasn't my great-granddaughter. These are my great... And she is Jenny. She works out here at the Sandia. She's working for Sandia. And we stayed there from August till November. The day after her birthday, we started home. And then the following year, we went back. We promised to be back to be for her second birthday, and we did. We drove back then, and we stayed the same length of time because it was no use to go back there and just spend a few weeks. And they said, "Mama, when you come, plan to stay at least a couple of 3 months with us back here. We have plenty of room. They had a big home." And so we did, and we drove back there the second time and drove back again here. We had a good time, and we were scared to death. You know, my husband wasn't feeling up to par, but the kids and I thought, well, we were kind of talking.
Let's see, so you were trying to get him to retire.
To retire, because we thought, well, he was up there that in the years, and he'd worked hard all his life since he came to this country from Italy when he was 17, my husband. He came over on a ship with a friend of his, and the friend's living up in, on the other side of Manteca. He's still living there, too, and... They came over on the boat, and they said, oh, what a rough ride. And they were down in the lower part of the ship, you know, and they came, and every time they'd walk, he said that everything would go off the shelves, and they thought, oh, boy, this is our, any time now we're going to go down. But they did, and they got here, and my husband went to work in the artichoke fields when he first came to this country over in San Francisco, because he had an uncle that was living, had two uncles living there in San Francisco, but he went and worked in the artichokes fields, and from sunup to sundown for a long time before he went into the hog business, and then he finally went in with his uncle and started with his uncle at that time.
Mm-hmm. Did he speak any English when he came to this country?
Not too much, but he understood. He didn't do much because when they were coming across New York, after they landed in New York, they come cross country on the train, and they stopped this fellow that came with him. He didn't think he was going to live. He got so sick, you know, on the boat and coming across, and he went into a store and he ordered, and he coined the stuff, and he said they thought that would be good, this fellow would like, and he would, and he got a steak, and he brought it back onto the train, and the guy cooked it, you know, they're coming across mm-hmm. country for them, and the poor fellow couldn't even down that. Louis had to end up eating, Louis didn't get it as sick as his friend did coming, they had a rough time of it coming in, and he didn't get back to see, that's why when he didn't go back to until after the Second World War, and he went back to see how his family survived from the war situation, and none of us went. The children and I, we stayed because my son and I took care of the business out there at the ranch, and because they had truck drivers that were going to get the food for the feed the pigs from Oakland and Berkeley and all around. And he said someday, he says he'd take me back there to, and I never did meet all of my husband's folks back there. They all right now, though, there's only two sisters and one brother living out of 10 children. There was 5 boys and 5 girls, and my husband was the oldest of all of the children.
Mm.
And he said that someday he would take me back there to meet them all. And they keep writing, some of them, one or two of them that write English, they write now, and they ask, when Francisca, they call me Francisca, says, when are you coming back to see us all? We would love to see you. And, but I don't know, the girls and I are talking someday, maybe we'll take a trip, which we hope, if we don't, this war situation over in the European countries, you don't want to go anyplace.
Yeah, it does frighten you off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Louis, my girls and my children, they have so many cousins and first and second cousins, and as I say, there's two aunts and an uncle living there, yet in Italy. And we would love, someday, I would love, if God's willing, but I'm getting old, so I better make my mind up. I'm not no young.
Oh, you got time. You have some time.
Hope. and to go back and see them all and visit with them.
Right.
But if I went, I would just not just love to go to Italy, I'd love to see the other places close by. I can go to Germany and Switzerland and all those places.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to go back and see and visit and see all. Well, his brothers, now Louis's brother and two sisters, they don't speak a word of English. But their children do. They see them now, you know, the younger generation, they are. In fact, one of his nieces, she taught up here at Davis. She came from it, and she went to England, and she learned the English language there. But it's a little different than our talking here,
uh-huh.
the speech. So when she taught 1 year up at Davis, and then she went and took a course of it herself and started teaching. And now she's back in Italy. She's at a school near her hometown teaching the American language, English.
Oh,
and she writes to me.
And she could help all of you out.
Yeah, that's right.
Trip.
I have her picture here. Marcy. We're going to go to Italy. But he died just a few days, a month before our 49th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's too bad.
So that ended that. Mm. So I never got back there. But we had, one more year and we made it. Mm. But that's it. A lot of people do that. You know, they say, well, we'll do it, but they put things off until it's too late. And we would have loved to went. If he'd have lived, we'd have been there and back all for a long time ago.
Yeah. It would have been a good experience.
Yes.
I was a little curious, if we get back to Livermore. You said you moved into town, and I don't know if I understood if you said you moved into Dania Hall or next to it.
Yeah, right across the street, Toscalini had two homes there alike, and right there where St. Vincent de Paul is now is where we lived.
Oh.
We had a house, there was two houses there, and we lived in the first one there, and right on the corner, and we could hear every time they had on Saturday nights, the Danish people used to have their play music, and they sometimes would have their dances and everything, but that's where we moved from the ranch, in there, but my husband didn't, he went back, he had the ranch there.
Yeah.
But he would go every morning, but we, it was in, because my son was getting ready, pretty near ready for going to kindergarten, you know, at that time.
Oh, uh-huh.
And we figured, well, and we were figuring to buy a house here in town, which we were looking for, and we just happened to run into Ida's sister and advertise, and we came up and looked at, and we bought the house.
Oh,
and
good.
This is why we moved here in this house, and we've been here ever since. I have.
When you moved in, was you know, it's called the Senior Center now. Was that building in
no,
there?
No, there was nothing there.
Oh.
There was just there had been a school there, wasn't there, or something there at one time.
I think I
something that burnt down, and there was just two little cement things for like a waiting pool. The kids, the water, my little tykes when they were small, I'd have to my son and I run down and give them, they'd strip their clothes off and jump in that water. So anyway, there was nothing there. They built that in later years here, the senior center.
Uh-huh. They used it for a ballpark for a while.
Well, I think they did do some place ball, but they didn't have a fence or nothing around there.
Yeah.
Nothing was there, not even any grandstands or anything. They had people that sit in their cars and watch them play, kids play ball.
Yeah. Oh,
but then they built a nice place for the guys to play ball out there.
Right. Yeah.
Then, as I say, we were here, and then when we moved here, there was no pavement, no sidewalks. You know, we had the seats from my step clear out just to where the sidewalk was on the main street. That was there, but the contracted to was it
the WPA,
they put in all these sidewalks, and then they the city had come in here and paved the streets, and we had this, our street, each one had to pay for their own paving around, you know, they give them a price, and we had to pave it all the way down because we owned that, all that we had to pay.
You had a long and happy family life in this office.
That's right.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Did any of your children ever take music lessons? I think you talked once about your brother Buddy singing.
Oh, my brother Buddy, he has a wonderful voice. He took he could sing, but then when he went down south and he was in Hollywood, he took lessons breathing lessons. He had the voice, they didn't have, but that's the breathing to the string. And he still sings, but him and his wife now, the one he's married to now, Vicky, they sing and play, and she belongs to the, it's a branch of, what's this church right around the corner here, this little church around here, right on the 8th?
The Reformed Church of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah. She belongs to, it's a branch of the Mormon Church, and she belongs to that branch up in Sacramento, and she plays and the piano for them down at that church, and sometimes he gets in and sings with her.
Oh,
he's got a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And my son has, too. It comes down through my son has And then my daughter's little girl, she's going to go to Japan. She's leaving the end of the first week in July. She's going to Japan for 6 weeks. There's a rodeo thing there, and she sings, and she's got a beautiful voice. She just sang last Sunday. They had a recital. This lady that gave her lessons lives in Pleasanton, I think, and she takes a lesson one a week, and she said there's no holding her back. She's going places.
Oh,
and she sang a couple of songs down there this last Sunday. They just clapped, tore down the house.
Oh, good.
They held it in, I'll tell you where they held it. It was in the American Legion Hall on Main Street in Pleasanton. They had to have a big place to hold it, and that's where they had the recital. And she has a lot of a group of children. Well, some of them are old, up there, and some
right.
are younger. But my granddaughter, she's 18, and that's what she wants to be.
And which one is what was her name?
Nina Brown.
Oh,
and this is her picture. She's graduating.
I would like to, at this point, and I am now through interviewing Mrs. Santucci, make a couple of little notes. Near the end of the front side of this tape, we talked about an explosion at Port Chicago, and Mrs. Santucci has in her backyard a piece of iron from that ship that blew up. She went out and got it, if you remember our discussion, and it is about a foot by a foot and a half in size, and it was dated June 14, 1944. As I was leaving, we stood in the front yard and talked a little more. Frances told me the tree in her front yard was a present from one of the gardeners at the Veterans Hospital. It was to commemorate her brother Max Baer's winning of the World's Heavyweight Boxing Championship. Frances and her family planted the then tiny 1 foot tall evergreen in their front yard. Today it is a city landmark, rising far above the other houses and other trees in the neighborhood. This tape is property of the Livermore Heritage Guild. No part of this tape may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means electronic or mechanical or by any information and storage and retrieval system without the written permission from the Livermore Heritage Guild. Inclusion of brief quotations in a review are acceptable when proper and full credit is given to the oral history program of the Livermore Heritage Guild. Thank you.